What is up, everybody? And welcome back to Zachary Reality. It is Zachary Reality, and we are live here on YouTube right after the episode of The Traitors, episode 9. We also didn't do a recap here last week, so we'll chat a little bit about episode 8 just because me and Connor, who is back, we're kind of upset. Birgit and Parvati were our favorites, were they not?
They were for sure our favorites. What the hell?
Like, I'm what?
Pissed. I'm pissed.
Especially in one episode to have both of them gone. Like, damn.
It was annoying. It was annoying to watch.
How was Colombia?
So much fun. I was in Cartagena and it was like 100 degrees. It was beautiful. It was hot. It was warm. I was on a yacht last Friday.
Slay. With all
my friends. Yeah. Like a two-story yacht. This boat had, not even a boat. This vessel had 2 bedrooms in it, full staff and service, so I felt like a king.
Did you watch the episode in Colombia?
No, I could. I got spoiled, like, because I can't avoid spoilers. So I saw the spoilers. I knew it was happening, and I couldn't watch it there because Peacock is banned in other countries, I think.
What is up with that?
I don't know. I literally tried to watch it at night, and I couldn't. So I got spoiled in general, and I saw that Parvati left, and I was just upset because of that, but, you know, it's whatever. Her game was sunk anyways. We knew that with Dan sinking her game, kind of, and Peter being on her trail. So what can you really do? I think we saw that we saw the writing on the wall, but you and I, we didn't want to admit it.
I mean, I think that, like, after press day for me, I got a pretty good indication that she was on her way out. So, like, seeing everyone live, kind of just, like, I was able to pick up on a very few little things.
Yeah.
And I just knew that after watching the episodes as well, that she was on her deathbed. There was no way Parvati was going to survive. So I actually accepted it before it happened. So I was cool with it.
Yeah. I mean, for someone who didn't have the, or wasn't there at press day, who didn't know, I was upset. But we didn't even talk about press day. When I saw all the videos and everything and all the interviews you did, it's so cool that you met all of them.
Thank you. And all the interviews are out now. I just put out my interview with Parvati and Sandra today. Did you happen to catch it yet?
I only saw what you posted on Instagram. I haven't had a chance to watch the full one, but right after this, I'm tuning in because those are our queens. Those are my queens.
Yeah, that was the last one I wanted to put up because I think it was the most epic one. And I also was most nervous to edit it. There was like a couple things I said that I was just like, oh my gosh, why did I say that? one of those things was when I said Parvati's my favorite, like right in front of Sandra.
Yeah. What did Sandra do? Oh,
you'll have to watch it. Yeah, she almost walked out. She almost walked out. but it was all in good fun. Like, obviously, I love both of them so much. You know, I'm sure they can understand that, like, we all have our favorites and it's not always personal. But it was such a good interview. But I also I brought up Russell. I changed the topic really quickly because I didn't want to make them uncomfortable. But, like, it just, like, happened, like, halfway through. And other than that, it went so well.
That's good to hear. I'm happy it did, but they probably hate Russell. They probably despise that man with both of them. Both of them combined hate him so much, I bet. So I'm sure you could feel it in the room when you brought it up.
I changed it within 3 seconds. You can watch it during the interview, but it went really, really well. I feel like I got a lot of good ground with them where we talked about tribal council versus the round table. We talked about like Suri. We talked about like the challenges on Traitors versus the challenges on Survivor, and just kind of like Sandra's gameplay being anyone but me. And then Parvati, she was talking about how she evolved since being the flirt. And we also got a reconciliation between Ekansu and Parvati. Together, I got them because Parvati was in the room during my Ekansu interview. So I was like, Parvati, you got to get in here because we're talking about you. And they hugged it out. Parvati truly she had no one to murder. And Sandra wasn't drinking. So it's like there was some people who weren't drinking in the house. So Parvati's murder to Ekansu was completely innocent. So I feel like I got that closure.
You got the closure live and everyone needs to watch it. I will be watching that right after because I need to see this reconciliation between the two of them because I also love Ekansu. I'm a big Love Island UK fan. So
seeing
Love Island and Survivor, I never thought I would see this crossover. So how iconic.
No, this crossover is crazy. And I always think of John when I think of the craziest crossover of all. but I do want to talk about Birgit because he also was eliminated last episode. This was definitely a shock. I did not see this coming. I didn't get any indicators during the press day. All he told me was that it was going to come full circle for him from whatever like happened on Love Island. And yeah. I didn't really get that reference. But I understood why they voted him out, because they were trying to knock down Peter.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they were just trying to take out all of the Peter's pals one by one. And I think that was a good strategy, because they couldn't murder Peter because he was safe from the week before, from when they did that whole fire thing outside. Peter was safe. So out of that group, I mean, it was either between Bergie and Trishel. And I think that Trishel would have been a better option, knowing what we know now in episode 9. I think Bergie was a huge blindside. They should have gone for Trishel. I think that was a huge, huge error on the Traitors' part. It just didn't work.
I love Trishel. I think she's like becoming my like favorite on the show now. Now that's
my other total favorite opposite. I hate Trishel.
Really? Because I feel like I'm kind of starting to root for the Faithfuls now. Not, I'm like 50-50 because I want to root for the Traitors, but there's part of me that is rooting for the Faithfuls. Yeah. And I just feel like Trishel and Peter are doing like such a good job, and like they need to get credit for that. Like, people shouldn't hate them because they're literally playing the game and exposing the Traitors.
I think that Trishel is doing a good job. I just dislike Trishel because she was going all in this episode on Phaedra. I think Peter is just such a polarizing Faithful, though. Like, it's like a 360. Now people are thinking that he's so much of a Faithful that, oh crap, he actually might be a traitor. And we're seeing that this episode that we can talk more about. But I don't know. I don't think that it's becoming too much for people in this game. And for someone like Sandra to even start to say that Peter might actually be a traitor for what he was looping in with Parvati in last week's episode, and the deals that he's making with Parvati and with Dan. I mean, it seems suspicious. So I think Trishel is playing a good Faithful game, but Peter, it's toying on the line of being too much, in my opinion.
Whew.
I don't know. I know that's your guy. I know that's your guy.
Peter's my number one. I love Peter. Peter is my castle daddy, okay? And tonight, we need to acknowledge the freaking elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
This is not The Bachelor, and I do not have to kiss your ass for a rose.
We were waiting for weeks for that. We were waiting weeks for that.
Break. And when I say that delivered, and then it cut to commercial break.
I know. It was crazy.
Then they started to replay it. And I thought that they were going to have her say it again, but you can't replay greatness.
No.
Definitely need to go back into the episode and clip that. I was going to watch it, but then I was trying to get through. I'm so pissed, Connor, that they didn't show MJ's vote.
I am too. I thought how did they not show it? How did they not show who gets banished at the round table? I just think this cliffhanger, this is probably the climax of the season. Like, this vote is the climax of this entire season by
this
far.
This vote is everything. And it MJ, everything. Who I've literally told you about for how long have I been telling you about MJ?
Yeah, back in September when we did our full cast reveal, I said, mm-hmm. I don't know too much about MJ, but look at her now. I mean, it's all coming down to her final vote.
I said from day one, you've never seen Shaw's The Sunset, you don't know MJ. I'm like, I'm telling you, if there's anyone that's going to sneak up on you, the smartest person in the room, it is MJ. Yeah. So as an MJ fan, as an MJ supporter, I think she is going to vote for Phaedra. I think that's what she's going to do.
I do
think
too.
She knows she has to.
I think she does too. Yeah. I think because they wouldn't show the clip in between the episode or in between like the round table before that said that MJ was talking about how her vote wasn't decided, but this whole time she's been on Phaedra's side. She's been defending Phaedra just like Sheree has, just like all the other Bravo girls were. And for them to put in that one clip about her saying like, oh, my vote's up in the air. I mean, I just feel like that's a huge teaser to show that Phaedra's out the door. And it sucks.
Well, you never know, because I was actually really taken aback when Kevin was eliminated. I thought it was going to be Trishel. So the editing could really fool us.
Maybe it is. We've been fooled so much this season where we were convinced like 3 weeks ago that Peter was going to be a traitor. We were so
I'm always fooled. I am literally, I'm like so good at stuff, but I'm also always fooled.
Yeah, I thought I've had the season locked in, but now I'm like,
hell no. Every episode I don't know.
I feel like I'm taking a side and it's always been wrong. And I'm like, yeah. Shit.
Helen says she votes for Phaedra. That's why it's a cliffhanger. See, that's kind of what I was thinking, because if it was Peter, then maybe they would have just showed it. But because it's Phaedra, maybe they want to like let this play out a little bit more because Phaedra's so iconic.
Yeah, Phaedra's the best character on this cast by far. Delivering the most each week. So like they probably want to keep her as long as they can and to drag this out as long as possible.
The thought of losing Phaedra on this show makes me worried for the rest of the show. And it's like, I mean, she's just so fascinating to watch on TV. She's so entertaining. Like, she is the complete star. So it's going to be such a different dynamic when she is gone. But I also think that because she is such a big presence, that we're really going to focus on the strategy of the game in the final episode after her.
I agree. I think if Phaedra leaves, it's going to be all about the strategy behind who's going to be the traitor, because it depends on how, you know, we know that Kate is going to be, we know that Kate's a traitor now. So it depends how she's going to play the rest of the game if Phaedra is voted out. It wasn't looking too hot in the beginning of this episode because MJ immediately walks in and just says, Kate, like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Her face is just like, what are you talking about?
Everything.
All these people that I thought were like not going to be playing well, Peter, MJ, Trishelle even, are surprising me by far. So I'm impressed with how they're playing and delivering in general.
So if Phaedra gets eliminated, Kate might have to recruit another traitor. She could recruit MJ, and MJ could win the game.
I could totally see that. I could totally see that. But do you think that they, because there's only two more episodes.
Are you sure?
I thought that's what I heard. There's only two more episodes, because didn't we talk about the finale being early March? So
there's something about March 1st, like the week of March 1st, where it's like the last week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like, it would be so late to recruit a traitor next week if you never know. I don't know how I haven't watched UK or any of the other seasons, but I have no idea if they will. Like, I would be surprised if they did, but it wouldn't be, you know, the most ridiculous thing we've seen this season so far.
For sure. Well, let's kind of start breaking down the episode, talking about a little bit more juice, getting into Kate and her decision. Now, it was kind of crazy to see her in this dungeon and see Phaedra face her and be like, you're either going to die or you're going to become a traitor. So she accepts the role as traitor, and she was instantly kind of shocked about how Phaedra didn't really have a lot going on. She didn't have much of a game plan. She didn't really know what to do, and she was almost asking Kate for advice.
Yeah.
And now I thought this was really interesting, because the first half of the season, while Phaedra was traitors with Dan and Parvati, we did talk about how Dan and Parvati were making more decisions and how Phaedra was kind of floating. She took a step back during the Chalice thing. She took a step back during the Bergie vote. Or whatever, So what are your thoughts on their dynamic and how the two of them are going to link up together?
Well, I think it makes perfect sense for Phaedra to not know really who to murder, because like you said, that's been her entire strategy this whole game. She's been playing I'm not going to make the calls. Dan and Parvati can get blood in their hands. And now it's finally time for Phaedra to make a shot, because she's the OG traitor, the lead traitor right now. And for Kate to come in and for her to, you know, be given the say of what to do, I think that's, I wouldn't blame her. I think that is a little alarming behavior for her. And I think Phaedra needed to have more faith in her gameplay of what to do and what to murder and who to murder that evening, which I think would have helped Kate to maintain a little bit more composure. Because I think, yeah, that is a little alarming. Like, you're being recruited as a traitor. You have an ultimatum. You're either going to die or you're going to become a traitor. Like, it would be shocking for anyone. So I think Phaedra could have helped with that blow a little bit more if she could have been like, hey, this is your first murder. I think we should murder either Kevin or Trishelle, and then just get it over like that and calling the shots. But to put that in Kate's lap, I mean, you can't really do that to someone. Even Kate, I was like, Kate, who has every witty thing to say in the book this season, you know? It's
so funny. And Kate is also a huge personality, just like Phaedra. I mean, she was kind of like the Phaedra of last year, like just that really big presence. And if you would have told us last year that Kate would have been back And now as a traitor, I can't wait to see the cast reaction from like last year. Like someone called Rachel Riley. Like, what does she think?
What if Rachel Riley is at the reunion? I would love to bring that. To get like the season perspective, it's not going to happen. I would doubt it happens. But even seeing like Cody, Rachel, even what's the guy's name that was the faithful that no one knew his name? Christian, the one with the hat that he always wore. You know, I would love to see that. But even, you know, I know that's season one, but it's surprising to me to know why Phaedra would pick Kate. I wish we saw a little bit more of that rationale.
But it's just because the Bravo thing. Like, she had to pick someone in her Bravo clique, and Kate was on last season. That's why. And Kate's good TV, and it was just, of course she picked Kate.
Yeah, but she could have picked, like, even, like, a Trishel or a Sandra, because Phaedra
She doesn't know them like that, though. Like, you have to pick Bravo, and I feel like the Bravo clique needs to stick together right now because the other people are outnumbered, and... Yeah. You know, Sandra kind of is now a housewife. So
Sandra is a
real housewife of Survivor.
Yeah, she really is. She's been adopted into the housewives clan. So
I love it. I love that she's the housewives. So are you rooting for the Bravo clique, or are you rooting for the game, the Peter Pals?
I think I'll root for the Bravo clan. I think I want to see Phaedra come out of this, you know, just solely because she has delivered the most out of the season. And I think she deserves to make it.
She deserves first seat next to Andy.
She for sure does. And
the reunion.
100%. So I don't know. I just like, as much as I love Big Brother, as much as I love Dan, I'm just going to say it now. Dan completely screwed over everyone's game. And by everyone, I mean Parvati and Phaedra, his other traitors.
Yeah,
so
he was collateral damage.
Yeah, we're seeing the ripple effect. Like, Dan left like 4 episodes ago, and we're still seeing the effects of his decisions today. And
you're really mad at Dan.
I am, because like it just ruined, like, you can't call I don't know, like, it almost needs to be a new rule. Like, if you're a traitor, like, you can't like go all in on another traitor, like, because it's not fair. Like, I guess it's the name of the game, but like, it really puts a target on someone's back. So it's, you know.
Okay, Connor, speak your truth.
I know.
That was a strong opinion. You're saying this right now.
I know.
Oh, if you were at the round table.
What was that?
If you were at the round table, is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying like, I'm saying, isn't it surprising that I'm saying this? As such a big Brother fan, I'm like throwing Dan.
Yes, that's why. That's originally why I said I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm shocked too that I'm saying it. But I mean, I'm Team Phaedra right now, and I feel bad.
So that's Connor's loyalty. I mean, he'll turn on a heartbeat. You know, my loyalty was to Peter from day one. Peter and Parvati. I rode that out as long as I could with Parvati. I'm still Team Peter. I'm rooting for Phaedra. And someone I'm surprisingly like is Trishel. I didn't expect to become such a fan of hers throughout the season. And I'm really into what she's going to do. I'm into what Kate's going to do now that she has a lot of power and Phaedra could be gone. So they decided to murder Kevin, which they thought they decided to do that because they thought someone had a shield, Trishel.
They were worried about the shield with Trishel. They didn't know who it was. And I think, honestly, Kevin was probably just an easy murder because they knew Kevin didn't have the shield because he was inside that house the whole time. He would like there would have been no possible way for him to have a shield because he was manning the lights last week. So it was probably, like, thinking about it now, just a strategic decision because Trishel might have had a shield. Sandra could have had a shield.
Trishel did have a shield.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. Like,
and I forgot that.
I did too, a little bit, until like they kind of brought it up at the beginning.
That's why I was shocked at breakfast.
Yeah. I think it was just probably like the safest murder because in the traitors' minds, like, they couldn't afford to have someone else be protected by a shield because that just is going to sink their game even more, you know? So it was, especially would have put the nail in the coffin for Phaedra, I think, if they would have tried to murder Trishel and she would have been saved. Like, Phaedra for sure would have been a goner, you know?
So Kevin's gone, and I feel like I'm not too sad about it. He wasn't like the main character. Like, he was definitely like lollygagging around a lot. Like, he was kind of like a follower. Like, he wasn't making moves. He was just going along with like his alliance and everything. And the Peter pals are getting picked off one by one. So they're down to 3 people in their alliance. Yep. And it was kind of interesting to see the numbers this week where there was 4 Bravo people, Sheree, Phaedra, Kate, and MJ. Sandra, Real Housewives of Survivor.
Right.
And then CT was kind of a swing vote, but he almost kind of went to the Peter Pals. So they're at a loss for numbers. Yeah. So what was your thoughts about how the numbers kind of settled this week?
I think it's surprising that we've seen such a huge like reaction between CT and Phaedra, where we've seen like them almost kiss at certain points.
Her castle daddy.
Yeah, that's her castle daddy. So I was really surprised to see CT vote for her. I think what really, like, you know, he's a gamer at the end of the day. And for Phaedra to move the target during the challenge to somewhere, and when he even drew it out on his little chalkboard to show how big of a difference it was in where the target was supposed to go and where Phaedra pointed it, it made sense. But I don't think that's how Phaedra intended it to be. I think Phaedra was just saying, oh, this might be easier to get since it's in the bottom row, since there was one, two, and three. So, I mean, it's a shame that's how it went, but I was really, really surprised that CT would turn on Phaedra so quickly like that. But like I said, Daddy. He's a gamer. Yeah. Castle Daddy.
That was such an iconic term. Well, I got an interview with CT too, so everyone can go check it out on my page. Johnny Banana crashed the interview, which was great.
Speaking of Castle Daddy, I saw on Instagram right before this that Abby Maria tagged you on Instagram and called you Castle Daddy. So, I mean, the term
me
is
and Abby, yeah, me and Abby have been texting. She really wants to go on Traders. She loves coming on the show.
Well, Sandra called her out. Sandra's throwing out her name for Traders season 3.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the challenge. I love challenges like this because it really exposes like who is aligned with who. However, it didn't really necessarily go that way, as they all realized that no one was good at it and they actually needed to work together so they didn't lose all their money.
Yeah, I think like I like the idea of the challenge. It was really giving OG Survivor vibes because back in the day with Survivor, challenges were designed just like this, where either through awards or whatever. So I know I'm geeking out a little bit, but I love that aspect. But the execution of it was horrible. Did no one test out this challenge beforehand? Like, they went like 12 tries without getting
one. Well, it seems hard, Connor. It seems hard.
I know, but like, they could have at least tested it out a little bit more. Like, how did all those people go and then not get one? Like,
that they're was tired. They've been filming for days. They haven't had much sleep. They're paranoid. That's how. Let's talk about John. We haven't talked a lot about him since we've been doing these recaps since the beginning because he's been so underrated, but I feel like he's truly emerged as such a star. I love him. He kind of like ruins the fun sometimes because he calls out like the shenanigans, which like are fun to watch. Yeah. So he's kind of like the dad, like ruining the fun, but he's so endearing and he's so likable and he's the ultimate faithful. What are your thoughts?
I do not think he's endearing. I think he puts on this endearing personality, but look at what he says at the round table. He called Parvati last week a duchess of murder or a mistress of murder and a duchess of deception. Like he goes all in.
He's shady, but he's from the parliament. So he's like, whatever that means, shady. He's just so funny though. He's
an orator. He knows how to speak. And even him, he went in on Phaedra tonight too. He was grilling her ass.
Wow.
And like Phaedra, everyone was like, whoa, man, like this is crazy.
He's really good at shade though.
He might even be up there with Phaedra in terms of the shade because he just like punches it in. Like Phaedra just sprinkles it and then kind of goes in for the kill with her words. But John just like has such a power and a way with what he says and speaks because he also just has that sort of commanding presence. Like when John says something, everyone's going to listen to it.
Yeah. And Trishel was saying that too. Like, John, we need you to speak up this time because Trishel was in the hot seat. Peter's been in the hot seat. You know, John is the third man in that alliance. So I feel like he stepped up for the faithfuls. So he's so loyal. We got to give him points.
Yeah.
So who ends up winning the shields?
The shield, it was CT that won the shield.
Yes,
the CT won the shield, and I think it was, I mean, I think that's probably the last person that needed the shield, to be honest. But
it is what it is.
But they're really going back to the challenge, though, there was really no strategy that they had. The only strategy that they had to shoot the target was the ones that were easiest, where the design of the game was to target like people that you didn't want to have the shield. It came down to it being, oh shit, we can't like shoot and miss anymore, which is what they were doing. So it had to be like, who was the easiest target to get, which is a shame to see. I wish, going back to Survivor, I wish they would have done sometimes when like someone would just choose who to like chop out, like,
yeah,
like would they have like a machete and then they would choose personally who to murder in this sense. Like this was a little too hard to follow for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it would have been fun if like you have like three tries. So then you just really go up to people, but that's not the show. That's not the show.
It's not the show, but they tried to do something similar to it. And I think that it would have been interesting to see that aspect. Maybe in season three, we'll see something a little bit more Survivor-esque in that way because it had a blend of it. So
I can't wait to hear about season three and like if they're casting right now, when they're going to shoot it.
I heard they are. I think I saw something on social media saying that there's calls that have already been made. There's emails that have been sent, texts that have been sent. So maybe we'll have some spoilers here, maybe even before the season ends. Who knows?
Oh my God. I can't wait to see what happens. Okay. So we get back to the house and Peter and his crew are really paranoid. Trishelle is trying to make a campaign against Phaedra. The Bravo clique seems to be all on board with voting for Peter. So we're kind of divided in half. You see Trishelle and CT have that conversation where CT is swayed. What did you think of Peter, I guess, pulling Phaedra aside? Is he made the same mistake with Parvati?
He did the same thing. Yes. He's pulled every single one of these traitors aside. And how everyone else thinks about it, they think that Peter is making a deal with the devil. He did it with Dan. He did it with Parvati. He's now doing it with Phaedra. And I think Peter has obviously good intentions because he is a faithful, but the optics behind doing it is off-putting for everyone. But off-putting would actually be the word to describe Peter, in my opinion, for this, how other people are perceiving him.
I can't believe the way they're talking about Mr. Pilot Pete.
I know. Pilot Pete is off-putting, though. He's closing doors in people's faces.
He's not trying to. He's just trying to be a good faithful.
I know, but people don't think that. Like I said, it's a 360. When you do that, people might think, man, that might be traitor behavior.
Yeah. So okay. Hard to see. There's a lot of good shit we need to talk about from this round table. So MJ kind of hears it out and is like, listen, I'll hear what you have to say at the round table, right? Nobody wants to over-strategize because it seems like they have a limited time for dinner, you know, like they're really hungry and it seems like they have like only an hour or two to get to the round table. So everyone's just like, save it. Let me eat.
Yeah.
Right. They're so hungry.
For sure. I think I feel kind of bad. It's like they need more time in the day to eat at least and to talk, or I don't really know. I think it's kind of it's a weird dichotomy here where you're like going from a challenge, you're eating dinner, everything just feels like such a jam-packed day where it probably is hard to digest all this information. So I don't blame any of them for being like, nah, like just save it for the round table at this point, you know?
Yeah. Also, it seems like they film every day. So it's like you literally, there's the breakfast, the challenge, the confessionals, then the whatever. And then like maybe they have a day off, like after 3 days in a row, then they get a day off, because obviously this takes like 20 days maybe to film. So they have to have a couple days off in between, I think.
I feel like they would have to. I feel like I would just be so mentally drained after like day three or something like that. I would just be so defeated, especially if you were a faithful and you didn't get a single traitor in that time, which we have seen already. Like that would be morally exhausting and just mentally exhausting. So they're if they are going every day, I mean, they're probably not even thinking straight, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe they have like a day where they just like lay in the room and just like take a day off. So the round table, it was so hectic and crazy. It kind of started off with John going in at Phaedra. How did you think she responded to that? What did you think of John versus Phaedra?
I thought Phaedra, well, I'll start with John. I think John had such a convincing argument. He's so convicting with his words and everything that he says. I mean, he just drilled into Phaedra that she was the traitor. I think he said she was a traitor about a million times in his little speech. But Phaedra just popped back and was like, I'm not a traitor. Why would I be a traitor? And just like gave it right back to him, where I don't think most people could. For example, like Dan couldn't do that.
There you go again with Dan shade.
I know. I love Dan, but like he played this game too much like Big Brother, and you can't do that. Obviously, we saw that he got murdered or banished. So I think that Phaedra held her own, which gives me some hope that her Bravo girls will come through. But I think it goes back to the MJ vote, the swing vote here. And I hope that it was enough for what she was saying and her comebacks to hold her ground, to show that, you know, that she stays another day.
Yeah. That was pretty rough. Phaedra, you know, it's just, she's tired. Everyone's really just coming for her and coming for her at week after week, every day. Yeah. It's just like, she's tired, like leave her alone. So I will say the interaction between her and Pilot Pete was very crazy. Like, yeah. You know, I think he felt really offended the way she came at him.
And, but it's, you know, like total gaslighting. Like, I know Peter's your guy, but like Peter has been drilling into Phaedra, like this episode and even a little bit of last episode. He did the same thing with Parvati. And then for
he
now,
he did drill into Parvati hard. And that was now, a crazy romance scene. Crazy. That was so dramatic between them. It was like it was in a movie. Romance. It was romantic.
But to see, but for Phaedra to now give it back to him after Peter has just been running his mouth, doing whatever he wants this entire episode that we, the episodes, multiple episodes. And for him to now get called out, he's going to be like, oh my God, I'm so upset. Like, wow. Like, I mean, it's a good tactic, I guess, but like, you gotta know, he had to have known it was coming, you know, someone was gonna take a shot at him like that. So
no, Phaedra is so good at delivering lines at the round table and reading people. She's so fabulous. And she really came for him. And she said, and we said it earlier in the episode,
this is The Bachelor. I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose.
It was such a good line. I need that on a shirt. Do you think that's more iconic than Lord Not Ek and Sue? Or I mean,
both equally as iconic, but like that one, like you could hear a pin drop in the room from that episode. Everyone was just like, oh my God. Like,
do you watch so she's on this show called Married to Medicine, and her reunion dress is literally a rose.
Oh my God. Number one, she looks great, and number two, that's fantastic.
Like, the theme for that was flowers, but like, okay. I just wonder if there was any thought about the fact that it all correlates.
Yeah.
She's a genius. I'm going to be sad to see her go next week. I think that is my prediction. That's kind of where we leave things off. You know, what do you think is going to happen next week after she goes?
Okay. So if Phaedra goes, there's two options for Kate, that she either doesn't recruit anyone if she's not given the opportunity, and she either rides the win out and she is the one at the end, and you know, she fools everyone and takes it.
Yeah,
I think that is not as likely. If the other option is Kate does choose someone else to recruit, she could either choose, you know, MJ, Sandra, like you MJ. Mentioned Sam, Sandra,
or Sheree.
Or Sheree, yeah, but like even those aren't like strong options, I feel like, for Kate. So it might even be easier for her to just try to ride it to the end if she's able to kind of get over that shock and that hump that we've seen. But
yeah,
MJ's already on her tail. And MJ, what people haven't really talked about with MJ is she has, I think, honed in on every single traitor. I remember in the first episode, she knew that Dan was a traitor. I think in the next few episodes after that, she knew that Parvati was a traitor before everyone else. So MJ has like a really good radar, and she's very under the radar herself with just not really calling it out. You have MJ on one side, and then you have Peter on the other. And they're both just so different with how they play. Mm-hmm. So MJ honestly might, in my opinion, might be the best faithful based on how
Playing. So I think that's a good point. And I think Kate maybe might want to ride it solo if she doesn't want to recruit MJ or whatever. If she rides it solo, I think she's going to try and get rid of John first, because Peter is like a shield for her.
Yeah.
So I think that John is kind of going to be up, and then maybe Trishelle or CT would be next on her list. And then I think that if something's going to happen at the end, I think MJ might be the one to call out Kate, and then the faithfuls will win. Because if there's only two episodes left, I think that there's still like a lot of faithfuls where it's looking like the faithfuls are going to win this.
I think so too. I honestly don't think that Kate has it in her. I think she's a lot of talk, and we'll see if she delivers with her gameplay. I know she said even last season, she's like, why can't I be a traitor? Why can't I be a traitor? She was so pissed to be a faithful. The entire
game. Be careful what you wish for.
I know. Be careful what you wish for. And then here we are. She has the opportunity to be a faithful or a traitor. And how is she gonna perform? And what is she gonna do in the 11th hour? Because it is the 11th hour of the season. We are close to the end. And if it was Sandra or Parvati in her shoes, this would be completely different. I think they would be able to, even Trishelle, I think those three women would be able to ride it to the end and mm-hmm. fool everyone. Mm-hmm. But it just, I think, is indicative to see how MJ called her out. And like in the first minute of Breakfast,
MJ so just like, knows she's so intuitive. I literally have always said that.
So intuitive.
So intuitive. She knows Kate, and she didn't. And I think like MJ doesn't know that Kate's a traitor yet, but it was just like the first gut that something was different when she saw her and she felt it. And that's just like so amazing.
Well, because Kate always has something to say. And in that moment, it looked like Kate was just like stone cold silent. So you can read, you can pick up on people's body language and their what they say. And if it's not consistent, then you know that it's not, you know, there's something, you know that something is up. Okay. And MJ for sure, in my opinion, knows that something's up.
Yeah. So the reunion is actually going to be filmed March 1st. And that will air on Peacock in a couple weeks after, I guess, sometime in March. So let's talk about what we want to see at the reunion. We already said we want to see Phaedra first chair.
Yes.
A lot of people are talking about Larsa and Marcus, and they had like this breakup, and now they're like apparent back together. The tea is that they are back together. I just listened to Larsa on a podcast yesterday.
So did they break up? It's confirmed that they broke up and they got back together.
So she like said that they were. She said that they were having problems for like a month. She didn't specify like what the problems were. She kind of just said that like her kids live in LA and they're like touring colleges and she's in Miami and she's so busy. And then he has like a life in Orlando. So they were just not seeing eye to eye for a few different reasons.
Yeah.
So they were fighting a lot. And then it reached like a breaking point where she was like, I just need a minute. I need to see if like, you know, I need a second. So she deleted all the pictures. And then she was just talking with her friend and saying like, are your friends supposed to unfollow your ex? And she didn't like know she was fueling the fire. But she got, they were back together a day or two later and they're still together now and they want to work on it.
Okay. Well, so do you think we could see Larsa and what's his name? Marcus. Yes. Do you think we could see them at the reunion together? Because you didn't see Larsa at press day. She wasn't there.
Well, her and Marcus were supposed to come. They originally were on the list. And then, you know what? Maybe they didn't come because they were fighting.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, so can we just assume that they're going to be there if they're still together by then at the reunion? Like,
yeah, they'll be there.
Okay. I hope so. I hope they make it.
Yeah. The Miami Housewives reunion starts next week. The finale was last night. And there was apparently like a scene with Marcus where he was like, you know, maybe fighting with some of the other ladies because they're kind of bringing up his dad about how his dad might not be too fond of Larsa. Yeah. So like he might be fighting with some of the other housewives. So there's going to be a lot of Larsa and Marcus drama on the Traitors reunion, I think, as well, a little bit, which could add just a little fun and spice. Maybe they can just bring them out for a segment versus having them out for the whole time, because I don't want to make the whole thing about them. But like it could be some like, you know, gossip and comic relief to have this with, which has nothing to do with the actual show of Traitors, you know?
Yeah. Going back to Dan, I keep bringing him up. But what I want to see at the reunion is just like Parvati and Phaedra versus Dan, just like grilling into him about how they ruined his, how he ruined their game and how he was not a good traitor at the end. Because even last season, like no one else threw Ceree under the bus. Ceree was the best traitor. Obviously she won, but I think like, everyone that went out that was a traitor, like Cody, like Christian, the other dude, even Ari could have blown up her game, but didn't. Everyone kind of had that like unspoken rule that you're not going to blow up the remaining traitors' games, where Dan kind of like broke that rule. I feel like it's like unspoken, and he was culprit number one for it.
Dude, so, you got to get over it.
I know, but it ruined the rest of the game for the
traitors. So you just want to hear Dan say that at the reunion, forgive him.
I will forgive Dan. I always will love Dan. Dan is the best Big Brother player ever. But this isn't Big Brother. This is the Traitors. So,
oof. And this is not the house, but and this is not the Bachelor. So I do not have to kiss anyone's ass for a rose.
Exactly.
So iconic. Phaedra, like bless. Like just thank you for being you. We'll give her a eulogy next week.
She keeps giving. Home. Yes, she will.
Truly is the gift that keeps on giving, and
this season
so amazing.
This season wouldn't be the same without Phaedra. No,
I just a dedication to Phaedra for being so iconic, and that's it.
And me, who has never seen anything Housewives related, and not having any sort of idea who Phaedra Parks is, and now seeing her on a season of The Traitors and like everything that she brings to the table, I'm just in awe, and I love her. So I'm glad that she was on this cast because it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't. See, I've been telling you, and you also told me about how iconic Ekansu were and Bergy, yes, and we stand them now. So
yeah,
there we go. Well, Lord, that wraps Ekansu up. Oh my God, Lord not Ekansu. Lord not Ekansu. So there's like a few iconic lines. Well, next week, or we'll have a list. We need to like have like an award show at the end where we just like,
we should give us moments. Superlatives. Superlatives of, or some sort of like
something soon.
Best line from, so yeah, we'll think of something. Ooh,
or you guys can help us vote. So let us know in the comments. Yeah. Thank you for listening. And follow, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Can't wait. Bye.
See ya.